my beloved people with prejudice toward nobody. But Mr. Roy was always faithful to his duty as a Catholic, and as a matter of fact, he led the rosary in the Montgomery Chapel, I think, for most of the time, if not all the time, that I went down there for Mass. Mr. Roy died. You all recall that I have asked all of you to please make your wishes known before you die. Of course, after you die, you can't very well do it. With prejudice toward nobody, Mr. Roy had four offsprings of middle age. Not one of them belonged to the faith of their father and mother. As a consequence, for whom would we have said Mass for Mr. Roy if we had gone down to Montgomery when we buried him? No Mass was asked for. For whom would we have said, and in whose presence would we have said Mass for Mr. Roy? Therefore, Mass for Mr. Roy is said here, in this church. And that is that. We call him like we see him, with prejudice toward nobody. And we all have to use the judgment, the honest judgment, that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit places within us, those of us who are honest in our belief. We have a very good example as to what to do about the situation with prejudice toward nobody. Our Lord hung on the cross on Mount Calvary. Two men were crucified along with him, one on one side and one on the other. They were criminals, notorious criminals, for which crimes they were crucified unto death, both of them. Both of them complained, one vigorously, more so than the other. Now we're speaking of God, God Almighty, not a representative, not the man from down the street. But we're speaking of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, period. One of those men turned to Jesus Christ on the cross, God, and merely asked a simple question or a simple statement or whatever you would call it in grammar. O Lord, when you arrive in your kingdom today, your kingdom, please remember me. Our Lord turned to him and said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. And this man becomes the first and only human that we know of, or at least that I know of, that God himself told him, point blank, you are going to be in paradise with me today. Now, the other one. The other one had been cursing, blaspheming, and everything else that goes with the character that he really was. My dear people, I call them like I see them, with prejudice toward nobody. I'm not the one to make a judgment. I merely observe, and I can't help it if I observe and see, if I look and see. I ask you the question, was there any communication, whatever, between God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the other one? Did our Lord beg him? Did our Lord cry out to him? Did our Lord explain the commandments of God to him? Or talk to him? Or whatever you want to say that could be done or might be done by any of us in such a situation? Did our Lord say one word to him? Did he? My beloved people, we have to believe. But the least we can do, the very least, if that's not too much trouble, the least we can do is to ask for help. Help will not be given to one who has not cried out for it with proper feeling. I can't think of the right word I want at the moment. With proper sentiment. With proper sentiment of soul and heart. And so we here this morning point out to you, yes, we have loved ones. And we're concerned about those loved ones. But each one eventually must drink the water out of his own well. You can pray. You must pray. For those you love, that God will give them the grace to come to an understanding of what they have done, what they are doing, how they are living, what they do believe, etc., etc., and etc. But that's as far, my beloved people, as you and I can go. The only one, I've said this to you before, the only one that you have, or I, have to be cautious about is number one, myself. What I believe, and the way of what my belief keeps the condition of my soul in union with the will of God and the love of God, in all honesty and completeness, not half on and half off, not in fair weather and not in cloudy weather, but all the time, in every circumstance, in every condition of life, I must be completely in accord with the will of Almighty God, and I must live accordingly. I didn't make that rule. I'm merely quoting it. I was not asked what was appropriate and what could be done, what should be done, etc., and all the rest. I was told how it must be done. And so it goes with each and every one who can go merrily, 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 row your boat, whatever it is you do when you get in a boat in the water, thinking that tomorrow I'll start thinking about my salvation. Don't do that. And I encourage you, please, those of you who have not done it, to please, on paper, clearly describe your wishes for the when you are called out of this life. And copies made to be distributed to all those individuals concerned who are around and about at that time. Don't waste time. Don't take the chance. I had a sermon more or less prepared for today, but we had a community meeting yesterday, and with our visitor that's here with us for a day or two, and things were brought out. Conditions and situations and provocations, etc., etc., and all. And the meeting was such, not bad. It was not a bad meeting. It was very lovely. But all the thoughts I had in my head were completely kicked out one after the other. And I'm just as blank as a piece of unwritten upon paper after the meeting was over. Because the situations that we see and know and live in is so dreadful and so unbelievable that what can we do? Only one thing. Like I said a while ago, only one thing. Regardless of whatever you hear or see or feel or whatever you do, do one thing. You keep your condition of soul in such a condition that if you are called upon unexpectedly, that you can say, I am ready. Forget anybody else. Again, with prejudice toward nobody. Any one of you are not going to be charged or asked about the condition of other members of your family. Believe me, you are going to be charged only what have you done, as I will be, what have you done, as that finger comes pointing to me. And I've got so much to be worried about. So there, I constructed that sermon as I went along. But in the thoughts to remember this morning, may I read it to you? I'll have to change a word or two. God did not create me for hell, but for heaven. He did not create me to be a companion to the devil. But to be with Him and to enjoy Him in everlasting love. To hell go only those who wish to go there. Look at the two thieves. Look at the two thieves. If we love, we have no need or cause to fear, since the very force of that love operating in our hearts and minds will move us to live according to the will and wish and pleasure of our Almighty Father, and heaven will be ours. Yes, we must believe, but we must do something too about it. Sometimes that is troublesome. As I said last Sunday, and I've said it before, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I would suspect that our Lord's crucifixion and all that went with it was just a tiny bit troublesome. Would you not agree with me? And if He could go to that much trouble for me, I think that it is worth my time to go to a little portion of that trouble for Him. And as a priest says every day he says Mass, or every time he says Mass, what have I given for all that has been given to me? It is no longer time, blessed people, to play around with tiddlywinks. It is time to get serious about what we must be about. And that's that. I have one further, and only next Sunday, of course, we'll have the Feast of Christ the King. We will come into the church as usual. We'll have the Mass, and benediction will follow Mass immediately. After Mass, immediately, as soon as benediction is over, everybody leaves the church. And we will go, weather permitting, because these days and times, do you realize we didn't see the sun at all for a period of 10 days, this past 10 days? That's a speck unusual. Just a speck. So everybody will go out to the statue on the far side. Not this side, but on the far side facing the church. And the blessing will take place there. And in conjunction with that, in the vestibule of the church, on the table where the bulletins are, you will find these little leaflets here, the picture of our Lord Christ the King. There's a prayer on this leaflet. It is the act of consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This prayer, my beloved people, I did not say a word about it in the bulletin, which should be obvious after I explain what I'm doing to everybody. This is not to be talked about. Okay? But the day is coming for us, as it has come for others, when it will be against the law to say it, and punishable as a crime. I will not say what the reason is, but you read this prayer carefully and you will find out what the reason is. I want each of you, the principal member of the family, to get two or three copies of this prayer. It's on the back there. Take it home with you and put it in your principal prayer books in your house and keep it there. And you must use this prayer. We say it every morning in this church. We've come to that, my dear people. Start getting ready. You talk about preparations? Start here. The preparation must be spiritual before everything else. We're there. We said it a couple of years ago, if you recall, that the serpent is going to sweep his tail one more time. And this time he's going to clean house. Did we not say that? And people thought I was being just a little bit overly dramatic, as I'm always accused of being. Be careful. He's right outside the door, waiting for you. Be careful, beloved people. Pray. Pray. It is not any longer any time to go half and half. Our Lord Himself said clearly, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. I created you for me. And don't you ever forget that. It's that serious. I know I'm shouting a whole lot these days, because I haven't got time to be polite about it. And please understand why I shout. Because it is time for us to rise from sleep. And in a few weeks, when we come to the end of our liturgical year, you will be very strongly reminded of what you have to do. We are not looking, as some people do, for any of the fal de ral of the beauty parts, of beauty spots of the liturgical ceremony. The roof, my dear people, is falling down on top of us. Then how can we be concerned about whether we're singing on pitch or not? I don't think the singing on pitch or the singing of this, that, or the other is a matter of importance when you see the roof caving in on top of you. There we are. He's right outside the door. And he's waiting for you. And he's waiting for me. And you can be certain, beloved people, that you are not at all in his favor. He hates you with the most cosmic hate, I'll use that word again, with the most cosmic hate that has ever been on this earth. You are detestable to him. And he is going to do everything he can to get you and me into his domain. Don't you dare let him. It's up to you. It's up to me. And that, precious people, is that. I did not have a sermon prepared for today. Whatever. So, I give you my blessing on this day. Incidentally, a point I failed to remember by Mr. Roy. Mr. Roy had always led the rosary in Montgomery. He died last Sunday. What was last Sunday? What was last Sunday? The feast of the motherhood of Mary.